It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Preamble that I normally might do, because look at the time. 10:12. So I'd already be going to a break. But it'd be like that sometimes when John and Lance are the show that precedes you. AJ's in with me today. As you might have heard, John yell at him about how much the Cowboys suck, because, I mean, that's certainly creative to yell at AJ about that again. But AJ's here in his Cowboys hoodie.
Facts.
But first and foremost, that man's a kook. And the Cougs played on Saturday. They got the win. Did you get to go to the game? Did you see it?
I watched it. I didn't go to the game, though.
It was a little hot out there. People were hiding under the shade where they could find it at the game. So I watched it, like you, at home. Was impressed by Thomas. That's a baller. He made he had the touchdown, and then he had made the big play on third down when he mossed the guy to give the Cougs a chance to go put the game away. So what were your thoughts on watching the Cougs in Willie Fritz's third year, first game?
I mean, at first they were a little sluggish. I mean, most teams are. I mean, because they don't have a preseason in college. And also just, like, Oregon State continues to, like, at times just make plays against U of H, like, last year. And stuff.
I noticed, but, like, it'd be third and nine, and they'd come up with a first down to keep a drive alive, and then they would go on to put some points up, yeah.
Exactly. But, I mean, I was still pleased with what I saw. And then I'm just really looking forward to that Texas Tech game. I mean, that's going to be a huge pivotal one for sure.
Yeah, man. Texas Tech, they took care of Abilene Christian. The Cougs have Southern coming up here on Saturday. Then they go to Lubbock for a Friday night game. Might be the biggest game in the Big 12, and it's in week three of the season. And I mentioned Southern. We had a caller as the other show was ending wanting to get tickets to that game. We have two pairs to give away on this show. So if you still want to go see the Cougs in action and see them play Southern as part of First Responders Night on Saturday, keep listening to us. We'll give you, actually, you know what, one pair. We only have the one pair. So I'll give you the time and when you can call in, and then we'll give away another pair of tickets to the Cougs versus Southern. So we'll get you set up there if you want to go. Also, if you go out to Nick's place today, I imagine that the guys there, the bullpen, will maybe, or at least Jeremy and Joe, will give you the opportunity, and be on the lookout on our social platforms. Tickets will be given away there too. So if you really want to see the Cougs, there's your opportunity from us. And also, you can just go to uhcougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS if you can't get them from us. They really want you out there to support a good football team in the city as they try to make some noise, trying to build off that 10-win season last year, beating that LSU team, a different LSU team, but the team that so impressed people on Saturday night in Death Valley. The Cougs beat them in the bowl game. So the Cougs certainly can play with teams from the SEC. Now they got to prove that they can play with the best team in the Big 12, but that's a couple games from today. As far as what happened last night, Astros got a win. Their normally light hitting outfield played big parts in it. Dalton Varsho has three hits, and he also hit the home run. And Cam Smith came through with the home run as well, as the Astros turned on the power. Christian Walker, very early in the game, second inning, hit a three-run home run, a long one. And Smith as well to left center. Varsho, not as far, but it was clear that I was getting out of the ballpark. And they used the three-home run night from the lineup to win. They won 6-5 last night. Wes Neske goes to 6. He's now 5-1 this season. Went 6, only gave up the three runs, so the epitome of the quality start is what he got. You didn't walk anyone, so that was nice to see. And the Astros really got to Painter a little bit. They hit, well, not just a little bit, 10 hits, 5 runs, and they get the win. Hader was a little shaky. He hit a ball that I thought was going to be a simple fly ball, just kept carrying and carrying to the wall, and Cam Smith, I believe, couldn't make the play on it as he leaped up, hit the wall. The ball hit the wall, bounced away, which led to it getting a little sticky, But Hader was able to finish the deal, got a couple flyouts to end it, I believe, if I remember correctly. So they win again on the road against a good baseball team. The last time they're on the road, they took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, and they headed back out on the road after dropping the series to the Diamondbacks and take the first game from a Phillies team who, up until last night, have been playing pretty well as they try to hawk down the Braves for the NL East crown. But Astros still remain 2 games up because the Rangers won last night, and they'll go at it again with the Phillies tonight. As let's try to take the second game of that series, excuse me, with Hunter Brown on the mound. Hunter Brown has been pitching better lately. The strikeout numbers are up in his last couple starts. We'll see if he can do it again against Christopher Sanchez, who's good. That's a really good pitcher on the other side. So the Astros bats, I wouldn't expect a big night from them, so they're going to need Hunter Brown to be on one tonight, and maybe they can scratch a couple runs across. You never know how to predict these things. Maybe the bats take apart Sanchez, but if going into the game, this feels like this could be a game where Hunter Brown's got to go 6 or 7, give up a run or two, and hopefully you scratch across a couple and get it to the late end and see if you can get to the Phillies bullpen. But that's for tonight. Going pretty much concurrently with that game will be the start of the NFL season. Seattle and the Patriots rematch of the Super Bowl. We'll talk certainly quite a bit about the NFL as we move along. We're going to go to break just to stay on time as much as we can, considering when we started. So if you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. And remember, if you want those Kooks tickets, we'll be giving those away at some point here today. So me and AJ till noon, and then it'll be the bullpen out at Knicks, followed by Jeremy and Joe. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So yesterday, Sean and I were discussing Matt Burke. And why specifically the Texas DC? Because his defense, one that he and D'Amico Ryan's cultivated, is expected to be dominant again this year. And I think anything less will be a disappointment to not just the people who care most, the people in this city, but even nationally. I saw another pundit say DPOY for Will Anderson. He seems like the guy this year, as far as the narrative is concerned. He's just got to go out there and prove it. You know, Myles Garrett still exists. So there are guys, if they just have tremendous seasons, who could get in the way. But for the most part, it may not be a consensus, but nationally, people are pointing right at Will Anderson as it's time for him to get a DPOY. All the things that play into that are great player, productive, and he is on what it is expected to be the best defense in football. So the conversation yesterday was there have been comments by the Texans in a presser here or quotes in an article talking about how this defense is a little bit more complicated than people think. We're not just out there running and hitting, which is their calling card. We played the sound yesterday. We played it this morning on this show, or at least the previous show, from Dominic Foxworth, part of an ESPN podcast, talking about they run cover three and they just hit people. Look, if that keeps Matt Burke in town because no one thinks his defense is complicated, I'm good. I'm great. It's not great for Matt Burke's career trajectory if everyone thinks all you do is get really good football players and they line up and go get after it. But I'm happy this narrative exists. I'd like to keep the DC here for a good long while because generally it's the genius tags that get you out the door and in another spot. Whether you are Mike McDonald, who's going to coach tonight, that's his calling card. Look, the Seahawks have great players. You don't put together a great defense without great players. We think about it in college football terms. You have watched, if you are of my age or a little bit younger, you were growing up watching Mike Leach put offenses on the field with not extreme talent. He would get a Crabtree here, but think of all the great quarterbacks that Mike Leach had. Sure, some of them made the pros. Cliff Kingsbury made the pros. Sonny Cumbie might have had a sniff in the preseason. Graham Harrell, he famously threw the ball to Crabtree that beat Texas. You can put together an offense in college football without great athletes. They just got to fit your system. They don't have to be highly sought after on the recruiting trail. Name a great defense, particularly at the Power Four level, that doesn't have great players. So I wouldn't crush Matt Burke for that. It is just part of the perception for him. And I'm good with it. Keep on thinking that way. We don't need turnover. I mean, DeMeco Ryans, let's be honest, has an issue hiring OCs. We are on his second, and the first year with Nick Caley, if I'm being kind, I go, the quarterback didn't develop. Your offense wasn't particularly good. And they have tried things to rectify that by fixing the O-line, which didn't really work in the way they wanted to, because it's a journeyman center that you signed for little money as one of your starters. And thankfully, it appears you hit on Rutledge, so he's one of your starters as well. But I don't think the offensive line that they wanted was going to feature two Browns and no Smith and no Teller. But that's where they are. We'll see if they can make it work under Cole Popovich and Nick Caley. So I have seen the struggles that the head coaches had hiring OCs. I don't really want him in the job. Not that he can't do it. He's a defensive guy. He could just call the plays himself. I don't want him back in the market. I prefer that Matt Burke stays. I have more confidence that he can hire a good DC, or if he did hire one that he didn't have faith in, he would just call the defense. But I like some stability here. There's been a lot of turnover in not even four seasons on that Texan staff, whether it be a quarterback coach, O-line coach, an OC. The defense has been the one constant because of how they performed. Let's keep it that way. Anyone out there, Dominique Foxworth, Nick Wright, if you ever chimed in, I want you all to believe that the Texans, what they do is simple. And Mike McDonald is a genius. Let's keep Matt Burke in town. Look, I'm not looking for advancement from Matt Burke. I'm sure it'd be great if he became head coach, but not for me.
Most people don't even know his name, probably.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, because you have the defensive head coach allegedly overseeing everything.
Right.
I'm sure, DeMeco has his hand in everything, but the perception is that the defensive head coach is that's his defense, not yours, Matt Burke. We don't know what you will put together as a defensive coordinator. Because not only do you have great players, but you have this defensive mind who was a previous DC, called the defense in Houston before he handed over the reins to you. We don't really know what your defense would be. You know what? I'm good with people thinking that. Let's keep him around. Let him be our Dick LeBeau, for all I care.
D. Spagnuolo?
Great!
Yeah.
Start naming guys, even though Spagnuolo did try.
It's true.
Did get a head coaching job and didn't work out for him. Hey, Matt, don't dip your toe in that water. It's better over here. It's not always greener. And if the national perception prohibits him from getting good looks, while I always want people to advance, if that's their goal, it wouldn't be so bad if he hung around and became a DC synonymous with the Texans. Look, at some point, if he continues to be the coordinator for a great defense, he's going to get a look.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if he gets some looks this year after the season's over, whether they come to fruition and he becomes head coach. That's for him to do. That's for him to excel in interviews. But I don't know. I've just been listening to a lot of podcasts to start the year as I just try to get a feel for how people think the season's going to go for not just the Texans, but for everyone. And I've heard at least three of them go, they're simple. They're great, but they're simple. I think there's more to it than that, but keep on keeping on with that belief. If it guarantees some continuity on one of the best units in football, look, they're going to get very expensive. Christian Gonzalez got his money. Stingley already got paid, but the next up is Kamari Lassiter. They're going to be a very expensive unit, and some guys are going to have to be let go because you can't team build and have everyone making top-of-the-market money. So having some continuity with your coaching staff can kind of give you a little buffer as you bring in draft picks who are less expensive and younger and aren't as advanced in defense as some of the guys you have to let go.
It's also interesting, too, with the Texans, their secondary, it's going to be similar to like what the Eagles have with DeGene and Mitchell because they're going to have to be extended next year. So.
Quinyon Mitchell is another one of those guys people are talking about for potential DPOY if he can get his counting stats up as far as getting picks and stuff. I've heard his name mentioned along with Will Anderson. But, yeah, they've got those two. Reed Blankenship had to go.
Right.
I don't know how much that was money or they just wanted to move on. But either way, he was part of a good defense, and now he's here because – if you have a roster as talented as the Eagles, you got to make your decisions. And who is more vital to what you do under a Vic Fangio defense there? We'll see it play out. They thought they could get a good enough replacement for Reed Blankenship that they didn't have to meet his market, and that's to the Texans' gain as he's now here to help bolster that Matt Burke simple defense that doesn't require him to go get a head coaching job someplace else. We'll see. I think NFL people will see through some of the commentary and give him a shot or two to at least interview. I'm just firmly on the side of stay here for 10 years if you want, Matt Burke. All right. We'll go to break. And I said I would tell you when you can call in. Let's go 10:45. If you want to go to the Cougs game, 10:45 is the time. 713-780-3776 is the number. Caller 4 at 10:45, so just under 15 minutes away, you win a pair of tickets to see the Cougs versus Southern. That's on Saturday. It's First Responders Night out at TDCU. So we're having a talk a couple of days ago, maybe it was yesterday, probably yesterday, about who gets to drive the car as the Cougs into the stadium. Do you have any insight, AJ? Are they going to give different people an opportunity, or will it just be some staffer who always drives the car up?
I feel like it's a staffer.
Yeah. If it gets really popular and they're really good late in the season, maybe you'll see some Houston-based celebrity get a chance. Right. But at the moment, it went viral. People saw it. But I think you need over top 10 in the country. It's a big home game. Do they have Baylor at home or something? They don't have as far as if you're looking for Texas teams to come to town, it's not great in that way, but you do have a great team to root for, so that's why you should go to the games. But I think it might play out that way. Like, you beat Tech, and that jumps you into the top 15. Maybe when UCF comes to town, you throw someone with Houston ties in that car. But as I agree at the moment, I think it's just someone that they trust with that car to drive it.
Baylor's the last home game.
So maybe if you are on the verge of an 11-win season or however many wins you have at the time, then you might see the stars come out to drive that thing in a big moment. Because if they are as good as we hope they can be, you'll get out of maybe a 2:30 time slot. Maybe you wind up with the primetime game, even if the opponent isn't so great. And that'll be the moment to showcase the intro and whoever you get to drive it. So, I agree. Because, you know, the Oregon Duck drives that motorcycle. They don't put anyone famous under that duck suit. It's just a duck. It's a little more dangerous. It's just a motorcycle. This one's a car moving at a slow rate of speed. So, you'd think it'd be a little safer. But let's get a couple of those out of the way first while we have it all planned. Look, Texas, I imagine Arch Manning has run out of a tunnel hundreds of times at this point, if you include his college career and high school career. And even he couldn't avoid stumbling and falling. So let's perfect the car driving out, the players coming out behind it, and then you can throw, like, I don't know, name any Houston rapper you can think of, because that's always the go-to.
Paul Wall.
Yeah, that's always the go-to. What's Bun B up to? That's the other one that people mention. I think one of our listeners said, what about the president, Couture? Does she wind up driving that car? I'm hoping. Actually, I don't even know who I'm hoping for. I want to be surprised. You know, I got to find, is there a Houston actor that went to I'm sure there are, but I wonder if one of them went to the school that could come out. I know Dennis Quaid is from here, I think.
Right.
He may be busy filming another one of his movies that go straight to streaming. But that's the thing. Because if they win, eventually the momentum will build and you'll get someone pretty famous out there. But I agree with you. I think at this point it'll be a staffer. Oh, he's a narrator for the program for Tech. Because Tech has a show on Paramount and he's a narrator. All right, he's out. He's out. He's a narrator for that doc. Get out of here. No Dennis Quaid. Maybe Hillary Duff wants to do it.
Jim Parsons with the U of H.
I do. Yeah, the Big Bang Theory guy. So that could be one. But I got to rule out Quaid now here voicing the Tech doc. Come on. All right, we'll go to break with that. Remember, 1045. Caller, what did I say? I don't know.
Four?
Yeah, I believe I said caller four. Caller four gets the pair of tickets to Cougs versus Southern out at TDEC on Saturday. We'll be back after this. But first, I want to tell you about Flip. So the football season, officially at least with the NFL, begins today. I used Flip on Monday night to make the game between SMU and Florida State more interesting. I was already hate watching Florida State. That's my bag. But I felt pretty good about SMU winning that game. And they made it difficult on me, but I won thanks to Flip. And that's what Flip's all about, making the games more fun, particularly with football starting right now. So make picks on the biggest matchups and player performances, and you can play for free every day with free Flip coins and your bonus daily dollar. So, for example, you got Seahawks versus Pats tonight. Maybe you like someone to score the first touchdown. You can use your Flip coins on that. Or maybe you think Drake May has recovered from what happened in the Super Bowl. He's going to be seeing ghosts again. You think a couple picks. You can get in on that too. All the things you want to do when it comes to a football game, Flip has it for you. It makes football even better. And when you've got something riding on every drive, every touchdown, every interception, and big play becomes more exciting. So, new players can receive up to a $250 extra bonus, Flip cash. That's $250 extra bonus Flip cash. You can download Flip and use promo code DELSHOW to get started. That's DEL show that gets you started. You can play for free every day with free Flip coins, or you can purchase those Flip coins and receive extra bonus Flip cash on every purchase every day. Huge daily boost on featured picks every day. So they're going to give you more opportunities to have some fun. And you can download Flip now, Flip around, and find out. Must be 18 plus. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. And restrictions apply. See terms of use for eligibility at getfliff.com. And full promotion rules. Flip Inc.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So it is Patriots Seahawks tonight to open up the season. Tomorrow, I believe, right? It's on Netflix, San Francisco versus the Rams. And doesn't matter how far they get away from that substation, San Francisco, the 49ers, can't avoid a debilitating season-ending injury. This time, Alfred Collins tore his patellar tendon in practice on Tuesday, and now he is out for the year. So that's one for the Rams, who said they were just going to travel right before the game and get there and just go play. The 49ers said, no, we're going to acclimate ourselves to playing in Australia, and we'll be ready. And that Tuesday practice got Alfred Collins. He is now out for the year, their defensive tackle. So I don't know how to explain it. The substation now has its own Twitter account and said, and just did kind of a shh, don't look at me. This wasn't me. The 49ers just snake bitten. They've been that way throughout for like almost every other year with Kyle Shanahan. They were snake bitten last year, still made the playoffs, and then they got drilled by the Seahawks in the divisional round. So
beat the Eagles though.
They did. Famously Jalen Hurts had to call the play because they said the passing game coordinator, whatever his official title was, froze up. They have dissected that little huddle before that final play far more than you would think. If you remember, the Eagles are driving. I don't know if they would have tied the game or won the game if they scored a touchdown, but they were driving, and on fourth down, I think they called a timeout right before, and Jalen Hurts allegedly had to make the call on the play because Kevin Petullo, who was one of their assistants at the time, allegedly froze up. Makes me feel great. Now he's in Miami as a passing game coordinator. Makes me feel great about that. But Jalen Hurts threw a ball into the teeth of the defense, had no chance of being completed. The Eagles lose. So, so the 49ers, very injured, did get that one. Wasn't Kittle, was he injured in that game or the Seahawks game?
It was that game.
He was injured, part of all the injuries that they had to carry to Seattle. They got blown out. Kittle's going to play, but Alfred Collins not going to play. So it continues for the 49ers. And it's been a weird offseason for them. From the Kyle Shanahan thing where he wasn't the one at fault. Turns out he was because the police wrote the wrong thing on the report. Not being reported for about 11 days or so. You had Chris Forster, famously, the guy who was caught on video snorting coke in his office when he was with the 49ers. You don't remember this, AJ?
No, not
Chris
that.
Forster is now the O-line coach for the 49ers. He was the O-line coach for the Dolphins. And he was on the phone, maybe FaceTime or Zoom, whatever, with, let's just say, a woman who dances for money in Vegas. Apparently, he had developed a relationship. He never learned the rule that they don't love you like that. He never learned that. And he was on video snorting online in his office. So, as you might imagine, that cost him his job. But the NFL is a forgiving place if you know how to do your job right,
yeah.
At least as a coach. Other players have certainly suffered different fates depending on how evident their crime was. Video always a problem for a player, not necessarily for Chris Forster. He winds up in San Francisco coaching their O-line, and he was the temporary head coach as Kyle Shanahan was dealing with the injuries, recovering from his car accident. So, it's been a weird, like I said, a weird offseason. Throwing their owner, getting caught, going online. It turns out the woman in question, who wasn't real, was all part of a sting operation. It would cost them $160 or so if she was real. My favorite part of that story is the trailer park owner saying, look, he just got pulled over here. We don't do stuff like that here. He just happened to get pulled over here. Don't associate my trailer park with that. By the way, 1 minute away, you guys, if you want those Kooks tickets, caller 4 at 10:45. So less than 1 minute away now. Now 10:45. So get in if you want those Kooks tickets. So weird offseason, and even before the first game, week one, one of their starting interior players tears that patellar tendon.
Can't forget about DeJuan Love, too.
He is 49er related, but not a 49er. But yeah, you had an individual pretending to be a player for the 49ers. That story, I still can't get over the fact that the women in question weren't discerning enough to know that real ballers don't carry their helmets along in photo shoots. It's not what they do. You may catch them in team issued gear because they're coming out of the facility. Or maybe they just had a meeting and that was what they're wearing. They're coming home. But you never, ever will see a player wearing a helmet or holding a helmet in a video. College players don't even do that when they're standing in front of their legally given chargers. They're legally given now. There was a time in the SEC where they couldn't do that and no one cared. You had Derrick Henry standing in front of a brand new Dodge Charger and no one said anything about it. But times are different now. SEC is still a little bit rogue. And we'll talk about that when we come back, because while the SEC is trying to stomp and put their foot on the necks of LSU to keep them in line, I think there's a bigger conversation to be had. Sure, this is about LSU because they push the SEC towards this red line of saying, if you don't get in line, we'll just kick you out. They're still going along with this vote, by the way. They're still having this meeting, at least. I don't know if they'll get to a vote, but they're still having the meeting, even though LSU acquiesced and said, hey, we're not putting any of our pros that we brought in, the two former Ole Miss players that Lane Kiffin had, We're not going to put them on the roster 105. So those two guys aren't playing for LSU. One of their lawyers said the players will be looking into legal solutions to that. But so as it stands now, LSU won't have any players who once were pre-professional. I'll say that. They weren't in any camps. They didn't get a pro contract signed. These are guys who will have to either sit out or wait for the next ruling. But the SEC isn't done with LSU or anyone else who wants to step out of line. So we'll talk about that when we come back. I believe we have our winner, so that's cool. If you missed out on your chance to win tickets from us regarding the Cougs and Southern, that game on Saturday at TDECU, go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. That's another way to get tickets. But also, the rest of the week, we'll be giving away pairs. Jeremy and Joe will give away a pair today. John and Lance will give away two pairs. This show will give away a pair tomorrow along with Jeremy and Joe. And then this show and John and Lance will give away a pair on Friday. So you still got opportunities, but if you don't want to take the chance, uhcougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS. We'll talk about what the SEC is up to, trying to stake their claim to the ability, at least, to govern themselves without any involvement from the courts or another institution. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
It should be a triumphant time for LSU, and I'm sure the fans feel this way. You beat Clemson the way you did. Got to feel pretty good. You absolute domination. Just demolish one of the teams. At least the logo still means something. The team itself is a shell of what those Clemson teams of like 5 years ago or so were. Yeah, they made the playoff a couple years ago, but that was not even the Clemson teams we remember when we're talking about going to really contend for national titles. But that paw on the side of the helmet gives that LSU wins more credibility than maybe it should. We will see how Clemson plays the rest of the way. They may just be flat out awful. You could have just been playing NC State in orange uniforms. We'll see. We'll see how Clemson responds. But this should be a good time for LSU. And I'm sure Saturday night was great, but the story remains, at least for them, what the SEC will do to them. There is a federal ruling, I believe, that's going to happen today regarding whether the initial Louisiana judge and his ruling about those pro players being eligible to play has any standing. Now, LSU, as I said in the previous segment, has decided not to put those guys on the roster, apparently deciding it ain't worth all that. But despite giving the SEC what they wanted, the SEC isn't done with LSU. Here's Paul Feinbaum. I believe he was on First Take this morning, discussing why the SEC is feeling this way and what they might do about it.
Really looking at this president as somebody who has been derelict in his duty. I'll give the athletic director a pass. He's a puppet anyway. He was the interim, and then he got the job, and then the new president brought in somebody else. And Lane Kiffin doesn't answer to either one of them. He answers to the governor of the state, who is the most powerful person. But back to the issue, Shay. The SEC will not kick LSU out. They have the right after this vote tomorrow. There's another thing going on today in federal court. There's a hearing. A judge may decide that whatever the kangaroo court in Louisiana ruled last week may be invalid. But the big issue is, what else are they going to do? Are they going to suspend Lane Kiffin? I promise you, they have a file on Lane Kiffin that is deep. It is not only the Holly Rowe comment. That's not it. There is more to the story than just that, and they will determine whether they fine him, they fine the university millions of dollars, whether they suspend Kiffin. Now, think about this. What if they suspended Kiffin for this week and next week when he returns to Ole Miss to face his former team? It's possible.
He said at one point, in an earlier part of the discussion, that the SEC is really angry. The Holly Rowe comment he's referencing is when Lane said, imagine if we had pro players at, I believe it was at halftime, after they had the big lead over LSU. He's like, hey, look, Clemson. Hey, look we're beating their ass right now. Imagine if we had those players that everyone doesn't want us to have. So, as you heard him say, they're not going to kick LSU out. But I do believe the SEC wants people to know they can. So this is what this is about. And it goes beyond LSU. This is the SEC saying, hey, we can run ourselves. We don't need interference from the NCAA. You can't tell us what to do. The courts can't tell us what to do. We are an entity that self-governs. And it certainly they have the belief that they are the most powerful part of college football. And I think this court case is them, in pushing for this, is them wanting that confirmed, that nothing you guys say about how college football is run affects us unless we agree to it. So this is a step in that direction if they can get the rulings to go their way, that we are a self-governing entity and we ain't got to listen to anything you guys have to say about what we should do. Now, they become a difficult partner to deal with. They already are. But if they are of that belief and it gets confirmed by the courts, then how do you reconcile that with getting together with the rest of the conferences to put a playoff together that people agree to? And by the way, there are talks this week about expanding the 24, as always, but now they seem a little bit more serious about the viability and what ESPN wants. So we're moving towards that, it seems like. And there may be no stopping it unless ESPN, who has been reported as being against it, because it could very well open up the playoff to other networks. ESPN has a monopoly on that. They've had it since the playoff began, ESPN ABC. Unlike the NFL or baseball or basketball, where all the broadcasting partners have a little piece of it, it makes sense for ESPN to want it all. But if you got 24, how do you reasonably keep that? So, a lot of stuff going on, but I think LSU gave the SEC an opportunity to stake their claim. We're not only the big dogs. You legitimately can't tell us anything about how things should be run because the courts say we can run our league how we want. And honestly, that final part of what Finebaum said, I can't have it. You cannot suspend Lane Kiffin for the trip to Ole Miss. That is unconscionable. You can't deprive us of him walking into that stadium and the vitriol that he's going to receive. He seems to project that he's built for it, although he will go, hey, why is everyone mad at me? He'll do that stuff too. You just do the thing like a college coach would do where he will suspend a player for a game he doesn't need him and then play him in the game he does need him. You want to suspend Kiffin for their upcoming game and then the game after Ole Miss? Cool. Do what you got to do. Give him that 2-game suspension. I need you to stagger the suspensions. He's got to walk into Oxford. That is partly because LSU did what they did. That's now a top 10 matchup, so there's a lot of buzz. There'd be a lot of buzz surrounding an SEC top 10 matchup early in the year anyway. But the fact that, well, I don't need to explain it to anyone. You all know the deal. All the things going on there. No. Watch your mouth, Finebaum. Don't even suggest that the SEC would have the inability to see the TV product that they would be depriving us of. Ratings, you guys always use that to say, hey, everyone cares about us more than everyone else. Look at the ratings we get. You're telling me I don't get to see Lane dodging whatever he's got to dodge as he runs out onto the field? Look, coaches have returned to former spots before. It's gotten ugly before. But generally, the fan base, for the most part, is booing the other team. They'll boo the coach, but yeah, you're making all that noise because you don't want the other team to be successful. You're booing them. I would imagine, considering he didn't get in any of those Ole Miss players to really go to LSU, he didn't get Trinidad Chambliss, he didn't get Lacey. I'm going to go 99% of the boos are directed at Kiffin, and then 1% because there's another football team on the side you want to lose. I don't know why he would Feinbaum would even put that out there. I don't need that energy. Hey, Greg Sankey, don't listen to Paul. Feinbaum, that is. Let him coach. This is what we've all been looking for. It'd be an absolute disaster if he has to sit that game out. They're not throwing LSU out. And if they know what's good for them, they don't suspend Kiffin for the trip to Oxford. All right, we'll go to break. That's hour one done. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. Remember, we got a show, a local show, coming up at 12. The bullpen will be out at Nick's place from 12 to 3, and then also Jeremy and Joe will be out there. So a full day of local programming today because the guys are out there enjoying what Nick's place has to offer. You should too. John was praising the Meat Lover's Pizza out there. So if you want to have a good pizza and enjoy some good radio, Nick's place is a place for you today. All right, we'll be back with hour two.
ESPN 97.5.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.